Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. Today we're going to be talking about hypothermia, why you can go so long in a hypothermic state without oxygen and still survive, why we're using therapeutic hypothermia to help people survive after a cardiac arrest. We'll talk about how alcohol affects hypothermia. We'll bring up some other fun facts about hypothermia. The good news is we get to drink alcohol while we're doing it, since we're talking about it.
True. And the best part, you might have noticed our studio is set up a little differently. We've got a tub behind Scott here, and he is, listen, I don't want to hear it. Like, I've done the ghost pepper, I've been stung by bees, April's done a myriad of things. So Scott is going to be induced into a hypothermic state today. So he's got his water
alcohol
togs on here. He's got his alcohol in hand, and in a few minutes we're going to submerge him into a vat of ice cold water and monitor his body temperature. So,
for the record, I'm a pansy, and if I start whining like a little kid, that's why, because it's really cold and I'm a pansy.
Well, I'm interested to see how today's show goes, because Scott typically carries the entire episode with, you know, documented facts and studies and all that, and I want to see how we fail without his ability to communicate. You're going to be like a slurring, whiny mess.
Between the
yes, but I think it's going to be a good episode. So,
all right, so we'll make me get hypothermic while we're explaining it all, I guess.
It's up to you. When would you like to meet your demise? That's the question.
Let's just get this over with. So we should probably take my temperature ahead of time so we can see how long it takes to
We've got our handy thermometer
down
here on hand.
Fun fact, the human body temperature averages around 98.6. Hypothermia starts setting in at 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
97.8.
Whew.
And that's,
all right,
that's normal range, right? 97.8?
So sorry if I get in the way of the camera. We're going to move this chair. This is where it all goes wrong.
We'll reposition ourselves a little closer here. We've got the perfect drum for Scott. I'll hold your wine.
I'm so nervous right now.
I have towels.
Oh my God.
Oh gosh.
That looks horrible.
There is filled about halfway the bucket, and we put 5 bags of large ice.
So I've heard from people that you just gotta get past the first 2 minutes. Let's just go.
I hate being cold, so this doesn't even...
I actually think we need to add water.
No!
Oh, he's fine. He's
it's
fine.
Mid-bath.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. Let's talk about some stuff. Oh my God. All right, so...
What is hypothermia, Scott?
So hypothermia begins, the 4 stages. You start in stage 1 is 89.6 to 95 degrees. That's the stage where you'll be shivering to your body's trying to warm you up. Stage 2 is 82.4 to 89.6. In that stage, actually, your body will stop shivering and you start getting a little confused. Neurons in your brain start firing off a little abnormally. You become confused, disoriented. There's been tons of documented cases of people paradoxically removing their clothes, thinking it's going to make them warmer.
You're functioning quite well, actually. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I can't even believe you're still in there.
Yeah. Like, I'd be out.
It's so cold right now. they take off their clothes to... thinking it's going to make them warmer. At stage 4 is... stage 3. We haven't talked about that. 68 to 82.4 degrees. In that range, you're unconscious. At that point, your metabolism is so slow, your body's cardiac cells can't exchange electrolytes as well, so you become... getting pulseless dysrhythmias like ventricular fibrillation, and your heart stops. Somewhere around 68 degrees, anything less than 68 degrees, you are in stage 4. That is complete. There's no brain wave function at all. Your
hands are shaking.
It's cold.
Well, and here's my theory about wanting to fill it up is you're just cooling the lower half because it's not even mid-back. So all your blood is going to your core. And it's going to take us longer to get that temperature we want.
Well, this show's got to last a little while, let's be honest. And we're going to find out later. There is a lady who got submerged
I was just going to use that example. Like, it doesn't have to be full submersion.
No, well, she was fully submerged.
Right. But
But it took 40 minutes before our heart to stop, and this show sometimes lasts that long.
And my AED battery's dead, so like I don't really want to get to that point.
Should we talk about that beforehand, honestly?
It's fine.
Don't even worry about that. So those are the stages of hypothermia.
Very good. So is it fair to say, though, that in one way or another, most of us have been hypothermic to some degree? And the reason I say that is because they talk about that shaking, that body response of trying to create more warmth. So if you've gotten to a point where you're shivering violently, we'll call it, wouldn't you then therefore be considered hypothermic?
Technically it's not till 95 degrees, right? You're starting to be cold and shivering before you get to 95 degrees. Your body's trying to maintain that temperature range.
Right.
We've talked about in many episodes before, you got to keep homeostasis in a very specific range. And so it's going to attempt to do that before 95,
right.
But 95 is when it's like, okay, you're violently shivering. It's not just a little bit of shivering that's starting right now, to be honest. Where's the wine, honestly?
We had a cold weather survival. So I was raised in a very cold climate, and part of our curriculum every year was with elementary school age children. And I'm going to keep talking about my stuff so we can prevent you from getting to work. I want to see what happens when you're colder.
The problem is I'm like, hurry up with this story.
I know that's what you're doing. That's why I'm looking at April. Like, so when I was a little girl, we had this class. But the funny thing is that they would take us outside and teach us how to do shelters in the snow and, you know, make safety kits for your cars and all this kind of crazy stuff. Legit for that area of the country. But one of the lessons was hypothermia. And I remember a teacher telling us, like, you know, you've all been hypothermic before because we've all really been cold and shivered and stuff. But I guess you're saying technically you're not hypothermic till you're below 95.
95 degrees, because that's when you're getting some physiological changes with metabolism. So, for instance, for every 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit that you reduce your body temperature, your metabolism slows down 6 to 7%. So if you're 98.2 degrees, let's say, and you went down to 95, you're 14% less. Your metabolic rate's 14% less than what it was normally.
Gotcha.
And Scott's drinking wine here because it does help. One glass, even just one glass of wine, will help lower the core temperature of your body, but make you feel warmer. So that's where the myth is. You feel warmer, but really you're doing the opposite of what it's intended for.
Well, yeah, and it'll actually hasten your demise, really, because, so when you drink alcohol, there's something in your body called gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA. GABA is what it's a molecule in your body that inhibits the constriction of, like, your muscles, so you get all floppy, right? Everybody knows you're drunk, you're floppy. Well, alcohol sits on that receptor site, and so you become floppy.
Floppy.
thing is because you can't shiver then, right? Your muscles aren't able to shiver as well, so you're not able to warm yourself up. It also dilates all your arteries, so you're creating more blood flow to your skin surface, which is helping release
I don't
that
know
heat.
If it's visible to the camera how uncomfortable he is. He's kind of doing this full body heave in the bucket. Like, his body is just like, he's dancing in the bucket.
The irony here is there are certain parts of my body that are starting to hurt a little. And we probably can't talk about them on camera, but it's, you know how, like, when you get pins and needles in your fingers when you're really cold?
Yeah.
It's like that.
In other regions.
So you have frost nip versus frostbite. So it's an actual thing. Frost nip, we've all been there. You know, snow day from school, we all rush out to play with our friends. Hands get warm, tingly, numb, start burning a little. You run in, put them under the faucet, they burn even more.
Right.
But there's no dead tissue, so that's just frost nip. Frostbite is actually when the ice crystals form. You still actively warm your hands, but you don't notice there's any damage until...
Yeah, see, I don't know if I like all these, like, legit definitions and, like, these, you know, because growing up where I did, it was, like, I remember, like, countless times, like, freezing hands, freezing feet, it hurting so bad. Like, I had frostbite. I did. Don't tell me otherwise. And I certainly have been hypothermic. So don't tell me 95 degrees. I've been there.
Where is that?
How you feeling?
Crappy.
Yeah. Do you feel, other than, like, the physical pain of the cold water, do you feel like...
I don't feel like I'm hypothermic yet. Like, I feel like everything's kind of functioning. I'm not shivering as hard yet as I thought. my elbows, I'm trying to keep out of the water, but
so
I can't.
April might be right. If we had it just a few inches deeper in there, mm-hmm. it might have a tremendous...
Well, let's take a temperature and see where
there
if
we
it's
go.
Affected at all.
Because we haven't gone that long yet, right?
No, I would say just a few minutes. So, yeah.
What were we at? 97.8? Something like that?
97.8. Let's try this again.
You have to put it all
no,
in
I'm
here.
Giving it a reset. Yeah, I'm pretty aware of how to use a thermometer. Now that's not right.
What's
now
that?
It's saying you're 98.9. So it's actually gone up.
All right, that's not very accurate. awesome. All right, well, let me get a little lower.
Do you have a different thermometer, Jen?
I'm going to try. I'm not doing a rectal on him, so yeah. 98.6.
All right, well, let's just keep going then. Maybe we had a bad reading in the beginning. Should have took
a couple.
Few, but that's okay. What are we talking about now?
Well, let's talk about, how about hypothermia in medicine? So we intentionally put people in hypothermic states. What's the science behind that?
Well, I guess before we go there, we should probably talk about, well, because to understand why that helps, we probably should talk about what's happening normally when your heart stops.
Right? Okay.
So we all know people can last a long time in hypothermic states and their brain can still survive. So normally what's happening, obviously you've got metabolism, right? You've got a cell membrane inside your brains and you've got electrolytes and proteins and fats being produced inside the cell and going across the cell membranes. And all of that stuff is allowed or able to do that with a molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. That's made in your mitochondria. It all starts off with, for a very simplistic term, it's using what's called an electron transport chain.
That's simplistic.
Well, I'm going to explain that in a second. You've got your mitochondria. And inside its matrix, on one side, the process starts with glucose. And on the other side, you have oxygen. Oxygen is extremely electronegative, which means it wants to attach to things. It wants to pull things to it. And so it sits over here, and it's kind of like the negative pole of a battery. And the process starts with glucose, and then there's a whole lot of molecular changes that take place inside that matrix. One of the molecular processes called the Krebs cycle. But at the end of the day, after all of these molecular processes take place, your body has carbon, oxygen, phosphate, and hydrogen. And in all of this processes, it creates adenosine triphosphate. That molecule then is what gives the cell its energy to make all of these things happen. So so that's just metabolism in general, right? So when your heart stops and there's no more blood flow to your brain, not when you're holding your breath because you still have some oxygen getting to your brain cells, but when your heart stops and you have no more blood flow getting to your brain, what starts happening is the cell membrane itself starts to act abnormally. You get a huge amount of calcium influx, and calcium creates this electrical differential between inside and outside the cell, and you get, they call it depolarization. So just like when you think, I want to move my hand, and you go like this, it's sending an electrical signal that constricts the muscle. So you get that calcium influx and everything gets depolarized. Well, what that happens then is you get what's called glutamate on outside of the cell. Glutamate creates a little bit of acidosis. That the glutamate then helps break down other proteins, which are amino acids of themselves, and it creates more acid. Basically, your body becomes more acidic. The normal body pH is 7.35 to 7.45. Once you get down to about 6.8, the cell dies. And how long does all of this, production of acid take to kill your brain cells? Just anecdotally, in medicine, everybody says on average, for every minute you go without blood flow, your chance of survival reduces by about 10%. Mm-hmm. So after about 10 minutes, all your brain cells are dead. So what happens then if you reintroduce blood? One of the problems with resuscitating people who's
without oxygen.
resuscitate people is once you reintroduce blood flow, you actually cause more damage. So that process is, so let's say we started within 5 minutes and there's a lot of brain cells that have dead and we've got a lot of acid production outside the cell and we introduce heart rhythm. And so now there's all these nutrients going to the cell itself. Well, the first thing that happens is that all the receptor sites inside the cell, they call it excitotoxicity. That's a problem. You also get inflammation. Your body's immune system senses there's some damage, so there's a class of proteins that are signaling proteins called cytokines, and they signal your body to inflame.
A lot of shaking going on in there.
You're doing really good.
You are. You're impressing me.
That inflammation, specifically the cytokines involved for inflammation, are interleukins 1, 6, 10, and 18. Though that inflammation causes cell damage. The other thing that happens is you have free radicals. And free radicals are atoms that have been broken apart where the electrons in their outer valence shell aren't attached to anything. So because we know that, we talked about that glutamate breaks apart amino acids. Well, now you've got all these atoms out there that aren't making anything normal, and you've just introduced them into the cell, and now they're going to form abnormal amino acid sequences and make different molecules that it shouldn't. And actually, the number one free radical in the body is oxygen. It's ironic that we need it to create ATP, but it also damages things when you reintroduce it inside the cell. So what we want to try and do, what's happening with hypothermia. So that's kind of what's happening in general when you reintroduce the blood flow. So with hypothermia, you are...
I'm laughing at you trying to get comfortable.
I can't
right
even
now.
Focus.
No. And actually, I lost like what you were saying a while ago when it occurred to me. We left this at a certain level, expecting your body to displace the water enough that it would be up over your chest, but you're so like lean that it moved like an inch. I'm like, we miscalculated his skinny. Darn it. We could have done a much better job in, you know, calculating the water displacement. But you're still uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is not comfortable.
Is this
do
what
you want to speed it up and rise?
At this point, do what you're gonna do. Let's get this done. What are we talking about?
You're just talking. Like, we can add more water to that if you'd like to feel it worse.
No, I'm pretty comfortable with the feeling right now.
I mean,
the problem is that there's this very distinct line, like right here on my arms, where it's there's a distinct pain.
Well, that's where you should be this whole time. Like, your whole body should be there. You're still 98.8.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know. You have a really good, like, your body's compensating at an incredible
actually,
rate.
Well, I can't even hold that.
And you are shaking. I mean, you're visibly uncomfortable. I can see that. And your body's shaking and you look distressed. It's fun. It's good.
Just take a big gulp.
We're gonna give him a pill. We're gonna give him a pill next. We're like Kevorkian here. Like, we're like, here. This is for your own good, Scott. Oh, see? It does get worse.
It does get worse.
I like how we have a loved one of yours in the studio watching you suffer right now. She's watching the pain, and I don't know how that feels for her. Maybe good. I don't know. Okay. So you were talking about the science and what happens with the heart and why it's not good to reintroduce circulation after they've been without for so long.
Yes.
So the science now, let's migrate into what happens and why do we introduce hypothermia to certain patients?
So, in hypothermia, I mean, it's almost, if you think about metabolism, kind of common sense then, that if you're reducing your metabolic rate, so you're reducing the need to have the amount of ATP that normally is bringing across all these electrolytes and proteins and fats and such, if you reduce the need for that, well, you need less oxygen to do that because you need more oxygen to create this ATP. Well, if you don't need that metabolism, well, then you need less of it. And so the lower you can reduce that metabolic rate, the less the need is for oxygen. But also what you're doing is you're reducing the amount of free radicals that are then going to be introduced into the cell. You're going to reduce the amount of interleukins that can get into the cell. You're going to reduce inflammation then, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why athletes kind of like to sit in these ice baths for a while.
Well, that was going to be my other point is, like, there are men all over the world that do this every day as part of their job.
Yes, but you know.
And they don't probably whine as much as you are. Like, this is just like part of their day. They just hop in, they make it happen.
For the record, they're like, depending on who you're talking to, they're in it max 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They're in it. They're
and that's probably where we're at right now.
They go 2 minutes on and then they go off. But the problem is there's never actually been any studies that say that's beneficial. What it does is, yes, it does reduce inflammation. And yes, it does reduce pain. And so a lot of athletes swear by it because if they're going to, you can do these long...
So isn't that beneficial?
Yeah.
It is, however...
But... No inflammation, no pain, but I don't know how that's beneficial.
Well, it's not bad. Well, because these athletes are trying to get bigger, better, stronger, right?
Right.
Well, your body needs that inflammation to help make the muscles stronger. You need more metabolism to help those muscles grow, and if you're reducing that... And so when it comes to the ice baths, there's a ton of controversy whether it's beneficial or not.
Right.
And the overall consensus is it's probably not worth it because the risks of things like hypothermia don't outweigh the benefits. So probably not the best way to go.
Right. Back into why we induce hypothermia on certain patients.
Yeah. So hypothermia has been around forever. I mean, it was, I forget the name of the Edwin Smith papyrus, I think is what it was. Back in like 5000 BC, it started talking about hypothermia as a treatment. Hippocrates started using it to treat blood flow or bleeding in battle wounds. What was that, 400 years ago, I think you told me?
400 BC is when
Hippocrates?
That's it. I mentioned it.
Hypocrisy? Anyway.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been known. It's actually been around since the 50s. We've thought of, like, if we can reduce this brain injury from reintroducing blood flow, we can probably save some brain cells. So, you know, it was kind of proposed in the 50s. It became really kind of a thing. In 2002, there were two randomized prospective studies that came out and said, look, if we can reduce your body's temperature down to about 90 to 93 degrees, so you have a cardiac arrest, you have some brain cell damage. If we can, once we get return of spontaneous circulation, if we can reduce your temperature down to between 90 and 93 degrees for about 24 hours and then slowly increase that temperature, let your body warm itself back up.
Your breathing's changed.
Is it?
Yeah, like it's a weird, like it's almost difficult for you to breathe. Labrous, if you will.
Awesome.
I think that's actually a sign in stage one, right? Is it breathing? Isn't like difficulty breathing or?
I just moved my foot and my body sunk another 2 inches.
And his lips are a little bluish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's fine though. Carry on.
We're good. My AED battery died, but we're fine. Don't even worry about that.
Well, it's just, yeah. It's
In the 4th and 5th centuries, hypothermia was used to treat tetanus.
We are dropping.
90 what?
98.3.
What I'm really pissed about is that it's not like 90 right now.
Well, but like, if you think about it, when we've had patients that are hypothermic, you don't see huge low numbers. And we did take your temperature earlier, and it was like 98.9, whatever. So just, like, if I remember right, we had a patient that was significantly hypothermic by the way that they were presenting, and their temperature was still only like 95.6. Should we explain why we didn't go rectal? Like, isn't that important?
Well, because one, shoving a thermometer at my bum right now would be kind of, the numbers would be skewed because I'd have to pull it through the cold water.
Right. Well, I suggested that we use my Traeger thermometer, you know, like where it could actually be submerged, but the readout is up. Like, I suggested that, and for some reason...
Somebody didn't want it.
I think my husband freaked out when I brought it. He was like, no. But aside from that, that's how we would take a temperature on a person who had previously been exposed to the elements. And so we're kind of using a different method. We're using the part of your body that's not, you know, deeply affected by the cold right now. So I think that we've seen a 0.3%, or, you know, like we've seen that much of a drop already. I think that's indicative of some cooling.
Seems like it.
We'll check it again in a couple minutes, but I can only see it continuing to drop. But you're doing
and
well.
And I think it would go faster, like I said. I mean, everything's going to your cores, your organs. I mean,
well, I'm now at breast level.
Ooh, are you?
Yes.
He's getting in there. He's going to go cross-legged in a minute. And I'm actually having visions of what happens if he just, like, bagels out and we have to yank him out of this tub real quick. Like, wouldn't that be awesome for ratings? I mean, I know it's only friends and family that watch us, but wouldn't that be cool to yank him out, like, unconscious and have it on film? I'm going to support that if that's happening.
I don't know.
I ate a ghost pepper. Okay. And got stung by a bee several times. Like, this is fine. Let's carry on.
I did take a cold shower. Well, not fully. Like, a minute. I turned it on cold.
Like, 1 minute. You're that one-upping friend. Like,
no.
I've been there. Okay, not really.
Only for, like, a minute. Like, 60 seconds.
It was more to, like, what is Scott going to go through today? And I did the shower.
And that was this morning, right?
This morning, yeah.
And which like, actually sounds horrible to me.
It was horrible.
Like, I
it
hate cold.
Good. I mean, I did it just to see if I could do it, but I can't imagine what you're going through because I just did it to show my sympathies of what you were about to go through.
And I didn't. I steamed it up this morning. I was like, full on hot. I'm not getting cold.
I like full on hot tub.
I was steamy and miserable, and my body temperature was like really warm.
Well, what I'm interested in is that, like, if I think about it, I can stop shivering, but if I don't, I start.
Start shivering, yeah. Like just an automatic response.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. You gotta refrain from the four-letter words.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you're whispering them over here.
Sorry.
All right, don't. So back to the medicinal use of hypothermia.
Yes. Where do we leave off?
Like, you're almost like drunk episode. Yeah, like, yeah. You're almost there. Unable to focus. So, well, Scott
actually,
was
my
just...
My hands are cramping. Like, I'm cramping
I'm
right
sure
now.
They are. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
sounds for you.
Yeah. So, you were just talking about what happens when a hypothermic state is induced.
Yeah, so if you can, lower that body temperature down to 90 to 93 and then let it for 24 hours and raise it up, your mortality rate is only 49% compared to 26% otherwise.
Right.
So basically, you've doubled your chance of survival by doing it. That's huge,
it
right?
It is huge,
I
yeah.
I mean, you've got a 75% chance of dying if you don't, and you've only got a 50% roughly if you do.
Right.
So that's a huge deal.
Are there any ill effects to having that state? I mean, are you...
So, and then here...
You're going to lose a finger or something?
Well, no, because there's a few different ways they cool the body down. They're not, they can use intravenous ways of cooling with, like, cold saline and such. And but most of the time they're using cooling blankets and things like that. But there is a little controversy out there on what is the exact protocol for how long do you take to rewarm them.
Right, and is there a complementary treatment of, a coma? Do they do like a medicinal?
So they're gonna put you in a they're gonna paralyze you. They're gonna put you in. Nobody wants to.
So they're not gonna put you in a tub, conscious, and be like. Yeah.
Well, and part of the thing, they do have to paralyze you because they got to keep you from shivering.
Right.
And so they don't want you to. So they paralyze all your muscles so they can't shiver. Mm. So there's that.
Yeah, there is that.
So there are some. Some medical facilities who don't like the hypothermia protocol, so they won't, because there isn't this like overwhelming evidence that this is the way we need to do it.
But I feel like doubling your chances of survival, that's pretty overwhelmingly good.
Considering
the alternative.
Yeah, well, and it is, I mean, it is a pretty intensive thing to do to manage that temperature at a very specific range.
I mean you're
in the ICU obviously in that point and trying to manage that core temperature and struggling to think so.
You're fine. You're doing great. It's totally fine. It's fine.
So what is, speaking of that, what is the coldest temperature?
Recorded from from a person?
Well,
ooh, you are really shaking now. 97.8.
Oh,
nice. Look at you.
Almost there.
We're dropping
here,
a full.
Take another drink.
I'm so proud of you, Scott. You're such a good boy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Pat my head now.
I might dump your head.
My pinky is actually cramping. Can you see that?
No. Ah. So you can drink.
Come on. Bottoms up, sweetie. This is the most fun experiment we've ever done. He can't even drink right now. You can't see that on camera, but he's shivering it on up.
It's the cramping that's starting
from
to bother
me. From being in the water or being outside?
I think it's just the cold cramping. I remember there was one time when I was a teenager. We thought it was a great idea. We're at this what's that park down Key Center? Penrose State Park?
Mm-hmm.
Where we were trying to get to this island. Yeah. We just thought, oh, let's go swim to the island. Well, the sound is like 50-some degrees. It took us about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get there. But by the time we got there, I could feel my entire arms
and people drown.
Muscles were cramping.
Yeah.
And we were like, how are we going to get back? Fortunately, the tide was going out. So by the time we had got, we were able to walk back.
Right.
And that was fine. But... So I remember all of everything starting to cramp, which is kind of what it's feeling like right now, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
How long have I been in here? Let's.
You know, we haven't officially timed anything, which is probably a failure on our part, but it feels right. Yeah.
I feel like
it's okay. There's a point when I will feel like we've gone too far with you, but we're not there yet.
We're not there.
But to answer your question previously, there was a 7-year-old girl, Stella... Burnson? Do you remember her name?
She's from Sweden, so it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the only known person in the world to survive a body temperature of 55.7 degrees.
That's incredible. What was the story on her?
It was a December. Her mom was getting ready for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She drew a treasure map.
That's like legit shaking.
She's shaking.
Your whole you're quivering like jelly in there.
Ugh.
Gosh, that's gonna be horrible.
Does it?
Carry on.
Does it?
Carry on.
So anyways, she made a treasure map of some sort, was given permission to go outside and explore. Well, she ended up falling down a cliff somewhere. There was sign of survival.
Yeah.
And then she fell into a water.
Water.
Because
that makes it worse. Mm-hmm. It's the wind and the water that actually, increases your decrease in body temperature. Right?
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
What are we?
It sounds like we're about 30 minutes in almost.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Good God, and I'm still not 95?
You're a tough one. We're going to go with that. So she was incredibly low. Do you know how long she was missing or submerged?
No, they were able to find her that evening, but I don't know how long they took to wake her up.
Well, I remember reading this story, and they had the rescue helicopters found her mm-hmm. floating in the water or whatever, and they did CPR for a long time all the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
I can't remember the specific.
I don't remember.
Well, and sadly, and this is a really crude term, but I know in emergency medicine they say they're not dead till they're warm and dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and this is why, right? Because that hypothermic state, so the person who used to hold the record before her was a doctor, actually, who went skiing and fell upside down in the ice. Her skis were actually kind of holding her from going all the way under. And it was reported she found an air pocket underneath there, and so was able to breathe. Her friends that were skiing with her tried to get her out. They couldn't. They ended up calling
that
to the
is why
ski
I don't
patrol.
Ski. Like, oh, that makes me ill. Just don't put skis on. It's not worth it.
But it was reported it took about 40 minutes for her heart to stop, but unfortunately it took 80 minutes for her to get out before they were able to get her out. Her core temperature was close. It was like 57 degrees, if memory serves.
Well, so I want you to go back to what she probably went through. Like, she didn't have the hope that you have. We're
well,
right
what
here.
I'm saying
the
was
warm
40
towels.
Before her heart stopped, I'm at 30. What the heck?
Well, you know, she was upside down. There has to be something with the.
It's like, you know, when you stub your toe and it hurts like crap, but there's no visible sign that you're in pain.
That's kind of how I feel like what you're going through right now. But yeah, I don't know that your situation is as dire. You've got the mental wherewithal to know that we are right here to save you when that time comes. She didn't. Oh.
What is it?
96 even.
Ooh.
We're legit now. 95 is hypothermia. Are we going that far?
Here, one more drink.
Can we get 95?
We at least got to get to hypothermic state.
You'll be my hero if we get to 95. Do it, Scott.
So, and I have another story to hold you over, because my favorite one was in 1650, a 22-year-old named Anne Green was hung on a cold December day.
Man, you just should stay inside December. Like, just don't even go outside.
December, not where you want to go.
November, all right, but don't go outside in December.
She was left to hang for 30 minutes, cut down, and later showed signs of life, and eventually made a full recovery. She was pardoned and married, had children, and lived a full life. So,
can you imagine, like, if you're the judge, or, I mean, I don't know, why was she sentenced to death? Did we ever find that out?
Yes. She was a maid for some guy, and it sounds like she had an unfavorable experience with her master's grandson, got pregnant. Medical evidence shows that she had a stillbirth, but they accused her for infanticide, which is death of an infant less than one.
Oh.
Can you imagine, like, the judge, like, so the sentence was hanging until you're dead. We hung her till she's dead, but now she's alive.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we got to pardon you. You accomplished the...
They considered it an act of God, yeah, and they pardoned her.
Wow. He's so uncomfortable. <He's> like... So, in your own words, Scott, like, what are you feeling right now? Like, what seems... Like, clearly you're shaking. Like, you're violently shaking.
The hardest part right now, honestly, is the... There's pain, like, in my toes, and... Mm-hmm. Irony here, and I don't want to keep, you know, making this too, you know, not PG, but it is surprisingly painful in areas I didn't think it was going to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't have really thought about that, but that is important, right?
Yeah.
Like, your body wants to keep that area warm for reproduction purposes, right?
It does.
It does. It so does.
The thing I'm so impressed with is that you're just in it to win it right now. Like, I think I would have gotten out by
this point.
Me too.
I couldn't. Well, and April and I are chronically cold. Like, we are like the sweatshirts in June kind of people. And that's why it wasn't an option for us to do what you're doing right now. Like, we're like, now we're out. And we may have blackmailed you, but you're here. And so I wouldn't have lasted this long. In fact, like, if I get an injury, I can't ice it. And it drives my husband nuts. Like, if I, like, I've broken my ankle, and it was, like, doctor's orders, ice it. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. Like, I will take bruising and swelling and all that stuff. I will not sit with ice. So what you're doing seems crazy to me right now. Crazy, ridiculous.
Take one more.
You can't. Let's get to 95. Let's do this.
Did you make it?
I'm looking.
Oh.
Still at 96.
Mm. Okay.
You gotta submit.
Good job.
Just let your body cool off. But that's really...
I've gotta stop shooting.
I think maybe try and lower yourself lower.
I'm trying to. This barrel is making it tough to get
lower.
Yeah,
I don't
lower.
Know what's worse, like the cold or like the body being in that position. Because if you had to squat down or sit like,
for that,
you know,
long.
Yeah, crisscross.
Good for you, Scott.
You're a better man for this. And you, like, originally, I was doubting. Like, early, I was like, he's not really feeling it. He's going to melt the ice, and this will be, like, nothing.
Well, the ice isn't melted. I know that. I wish it would.
So I wonder, like, could you make it to the point where your body converts all of this to lukewarm water? Like, could we leave you here till 2 and see?
Let's not say we did.
Like, I'm wondering, could you overcome this? Like, that would be a good challenge for, like, one of those magicians.
Is it weird? I want more wine right now.
There's another gulp here.
Yeah, just one little sip. Where's yours?
Because it's supposed to make you feel warmer, even though you're not.
Well, then let's talk. We've got a bottle right here. Thank you, in the studio guest, who's also our timekeeper. Timekeeper, where are we at?
37 minutes.
All right.
Good Christ.
We are 3 minutes from death. I will feel so bad if something happens to you.
Will you?
No.
Oh,
for
careful.
Science.
This is like
don't splash that. All right, back it again.
So what's the coldest you've ever been then?
You're still sitting at 96. Like, your body, stop shaking. You're compensating right now.
You're
ruining this experiment for us.
You're ruining it. Stop trying to warm yourself.
You know, I've been cold, and, like, I've actually hunted in Delta Junction for bison with my dad, and it was like 50 below zero. But we had cold weather gear on, you know, and I remember moments of like being like miserably cold, like my hands and feet being numb and like just shivering. But I feel like water is a different kind of like being submersed in I don't know what it is, but that seems horrible.
I'm struggling to remember.
Like really bad.
Numbers, but I think it's what 25 times faster your body will lose heat when it's wet.
Yeah,
which is why you want to dry people off.
Well, mm-hmm. Wet and windy, right? The wind chill, that's even worse.
Well, and what's funny about hyperthermia, I was thinking about on the way here.
He's like, as I pondered my life, that seemed really serious just now.
Yeah, how I approached
that. Because I'm no way here. Because I was saying goodbye to my three children.
Thank God I've had kids, because I don't think I'll have any more after this.
That card's off the table now. Damage is done. On the way here.
So hyperthermia, so it helps like right after cardiac arrest, but there are some times where you don't want it, right? Like trauma.
Right.
If you injure yourself, your body wants to repair itself.
Right.
You want that inflammation. So if you get into a hypothermic state, so if you are admitted to a hospital and you have one incidence of hypothermia, your mortality rate is almost 100%. So they keep trauma rooms at hospitals at 100 degrees.
Okay.
To prevent hypothermia and trauma. Because you want the body to be able to repair itself versus, you know, after cardiac arrest, you want to reduce the...
No, that makes sense to me. That does. I get that. So, trauma patients are not good hypothermia candidates. So, isn't it true, though, that everybody's baseline body temperature is different? So, they say 98.6 is the average?
Yeah.
Aren't there some people that maybe are going to be 97 normally?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why, like, temperature, right? Like, everybody says, oh, I've got a low-grade fever at 99.6.
Right. If you could just get over this 96 mark, I'd be content. Yeah, you're, like, sitting right there every time.
It's technically not a fever till it's 100.4. So when people say I've got
a
low grade...
But what if the person is a degree lower than the next? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's an average, right? The average is 98.6. So you're going to have some people 97, some people 99. So, you know, some people think, oh, I got a low grade fever at 99.6. Well, not really. It's not a fever till 100.4. So there's that.
Yeah.
So I also did some reading that... you mandated us to.
Yeah.
The other conditions that hypothermia can help with is brain injuries caused by trauma. So is that different than what you were saying as far as...
Well, and so, yeah, so there's conflicting studies out there that says it's beneficial or not. There was one that I think a couple that said it did. A couple said that there wasn't any difference. So what's the point?
Okay.
So, yeah, some say it.
And then how about, like, stroke?
You're not doing well.
We've been focusing a lot on the cardiac events, but it's also saying, like, stroke, spinal cord injuries, brain bleeds, like, all these can, hypothermia can help.
Mm-hmm.
Are those also iffy studies or contradicting studies?
Well, the conclusions was that there isn't any overwhelming evidence to say it's beneficial for the strokes and the... traumatic brain injuries. So do you do it or not? Probably not, just because there's no overwhelming evidence that says it does. Versus like that cardiac arrests where it doubles your chance. So in that case you want to, because it doubles your chance. But the other ones, there's just no overwhelming evidence. So they haven't started that, I guess.
Is it 95 even?
Yeah.
Or is it in the range of 95?
Why? Because what was I at?
95.9.
Whoa! I think even.
We gotta get to the even.
Yeah, you have to get to the even, I feel like.
Let's do it. If we're here, let's just effing do it.
You're almost there. Like, There's
we're
not
there.
Like you have to throw the Dumb and Dumber
delirium.
You've had that second set of gloves the whole time. Yeah, that's where
I've
Scott's
gotta
at.
Pee. Just go.
That actually might warm you up a little. Can you urinate?
There's no way.
Oh dear. Oh, he can't even drink. I feel like you should be more camera visible with your drinking right now, because that's really pathetic.
Got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, goodness. How you feeling?
Actually, it's funny. When I'm talking, it's hard to breathe.
Well, I recognize that early. Mm-hmm. Your breathing changed. Like, you looked kind of miserable.
Like, it's hard to take a full breath right now.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When people say short of breath.
Well, and we're over the 40-minute mark. Like, we're past that. So, technically, you should mostly be dead. Are we having some arrhythmia issues?
Well, no, I was just feeling my heart rate to see where it was.
Oh. Here, I'll check your wrist. If you'd stop shaking, I would check your...
But it is, like, I can't feel like I can take a full breath. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like...
And what's the biological reason for that? We're gonna need a little bleep out here. Scott's reverted to four-letter words, and that's not normally his gig. I feel like 95 is not far off, because no. I feel like he's slowly declining. I didn't expect this to be so serious. I thought way more fun going on.
Honestly, I'm struggling to breathe. Like that deep breath.
What's an error five?
Whoa, too cold.
We haven't run into that yet. I'm going to redo that one. So when we're sitting in front of the judge in a couple months, no. April, they're like, it clearly says on the video that he was struggling to breathe, and yet you both sat there and
laughed.
Well, I just got a full breath just then. I felt better.
Laughing helps. You're back at 96 again. Your body's compensating. I don't know what to tell you. You had just broken that barrier.
Do you
barrier.
Want me to bring the hose in?
What?
It might just be that extra degree that you need.
But we made that big jump. Like, he's almost there.
Yeah. Put your arms in. Down to your side.
Ooh. Ooh. Mm. That's a whole nother level of misery.
Good job, Scott.
I'm glad that he brought a driver.
Yeah.
I have a hot tub to offer you later, but I don't know that this is going to reverse very quickly.
My arms out, honestly.
He can't do it.
My pinky is, like, straining it. It's tough.
No blood flow to fingers.
We should be taking notes of symptoms and the time period that they start to arise. You are such a shell of a man compared to what you were like 30 minutes ago. Like 30 minutes ago, you were a rock star. And now I'm like, even a hero dies. Look at him. It's like not good. And so do some people do better in hypo, like so natural body fat and stuff like that. I call it natural, just body fat. Is that helpful? Because you don't have a lot. It kind of set you up for failure. You think the two chunks would have gone in there before you? He doesn't find us funny anymore.
No. It's
most delirious people are funny, Scott. No.
More body fat is
helps,
better, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whale philosophy, right?
Right. So there wasn't a lot
What's
of hope
the coldest you've ever been?
He wants strength with, like, support. He's like,
let's not make this about me, Scott.
Never. April wears layers. She's not into being cold.
All right, am I 95 yet?
I don't know, but I feel like if you need to pull the plug on it, you need to do that at any time.
I want to get to 95. If we're going to do this, let's do it.
You're back. You're at 96 still. You were in the 95s, though.
Mm. The hose.
It gets the hose.
It gets the hose.
How many movies can we call it? I feel like there's more to discuss, though. I feel like we can have a drink. Let's keep talking.
Let's.
Is it helping? Alcohol is supposed to make you feel warm.
We need a bottle. We need a bottle of cheap wine stat.
I'm trying to
it's
hold
supposed
my...
to only even just be one glass.
Really?
To give you this effect of feeling warmer.
But is that, like, warmer. Not when you're submerged? Like, is that when you're, like, at the ski lodge and, like...
I don't know. Well, you see, like, in movies, I mean, it's in movies, but, like, they're trapped in the side of the ditch in a snowstorm and they drink alcohol because it's here and warm yourself up.
Like, yeah.
That's the myth, but it only is supposed to take one glass.
But technically it's worse for you.
Yeah. It lowers your core temperature.
Yeah.
Are you guys warm at all?
I'm comfortable.
Fine. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't even...
It's like daydreaming of what it will feel like to be warm.
It is weird.
Does warmth exist
It is
anymore?
Weird that we are sitting this close to you and I'm like, I'm hot, actually. This sweater is horribly restricting. It's wrong how warm I am right now.
Maybe... No... I wish we had maybe, like, you look like you want to murder me right now. Very intense stare right there.
Back at 95.9. We're back in striking distance.
Maybe,
again.
Like, a cold cloth around the neck.
Oh, what if you dunked your head?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, just use your hands.
I'll use a towel and, like, clean your eyes.
Clean my eyes?
Yeah, I'll dry you up a little bit.
The problem is my hand, honestly, I can't even straighten my pink, like, I can't straighten my pinky.
It looks gross.
Your hands
look go like, put those back in. I don't want to see those.
You look like a hypothermia victim.
No! Stop it. It's really actually gross. Like, I don't want to see it.
They're like white and waxy. Don't.
Take my strong hand, child.
Have you guys ever seen Flatliners? Flatliners, like, where they kill each other, like, basically. I feel like that right now with Scott. We're like, drink this.
Good job. Oh.
The breathing is really kind of a thing.
He's kind of blue.
Good job. You're... doing so good.
We're like the worst.
So well.
We're like those friends that, you know, his parents warned him about. Like, don't hang out with girls like that. You dropped again, 95.8.
Good job.
Thank Christ. Let's just get there.
He's getting religious now. Hang in there, Scott.
It's the hand thing is interesting.
What I'm actually wondering is how quickly he's going to recover.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it going to take some time? It's not our problem. You brought a driver, and we're just going to ship you off. April and I are going to laugh. What can we do to help you?
Hey, you stop shivering. That's a good sign in our experiment.
Yeah.
Is it,
though? Because I think once you stop shivering, it's like level two. Are we in level two?
Level two is when you stop shivering.
But that doesn't add up with it. Is it because it's not rectal? Like, maybe I'm not getting an accurate body temperature. What if you're, like, 94?
You actually could. I mean, that's
you
very true.
You could be
true.
Lower
than
what I'm reading.
There is a table you can say that'll give you the, like, if it's axillary, you add a degree or whatever.
Well, yeah. We're going to find out. It's, like, 93. And for the record, Scott set this up. Like, this was his idea and how to monitor your temp. Like, you submitted to this. We're just assisting, correct?
I did not get in this thing.
Cheering you on.
I don't know.
You could be lower.
Yeah, could be.
Dude, let's Google it.
No, we're just going to finish here.
Where are we at?
He's like, just do it. You're getting lower. 95.6.
Ooh.
You're, like, legit. Like, if you're 95.6 in the ear, I feel like in the butt you'd be way
cooler. It's true.
What's that YouTube? What in the butt?
And we're not going there. So I'm going to say he's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think if you can't extend your pinky.
That's his qualification for hypothermia, if your hands have cramped.
I think you're good.
Scott, do you feel like you've experienced what a hypothermic patient might be going through?
Yes.
And thank you're not stripping clothes off yet. So you're not to that point.
I'm
where
not
you're
where I'm paradoxically cooling myself.
Right.
No.
Okay. I think we've successfully created a hypothermic environment for Scott.
Awesome.
Okay.
Here you go.
Thank you for tuning in today.
Well, like, if you like what you saw or heard today, please check out our podcast or our website.
Or visit us.
I'll redo it. I jumped. Okay.
Yeah, let's redo it.
All right. Well, if you like what you saw today, check out YouTube or a podcast.
Or visit our website, medicalconfessions.com.